Today's podcast is brought to you by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at WarbyParkerTrial.com/FilmWaxRadio. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Hey, everybody.
This is Adam Chartoff, your host of Film Wax Radio. You're listening to episode number 363. It's the end of July. We just got through two conventions. Very exciting. Quite a contrast there. But, you know, this podcast, of course, is in the arts and media category, not in the political category. So, you know, I wouldn't want to overstep and say something too political-minded because, you know, that could, of course, alienate those. But this is not a blue and red campaign. This is not a Democrat and Republican. I think at the end of the day, this is sanity versus insanity. That's all I'm going to say about it. So, because it's not a political podcast. But if it were, I would say the choice is quite clear. Just look at the footage of the two conventions and I don't need to really remark any further about it. Vermont College of Fine Arts MFA in Film offers a 2-year student design project-driven graduate program of professional mentorships for your scripts, fiction, and nonfiction filmmaking and transmedia projects. Each semester begins with an on-campus residency week of screenings, workshop lectures, and crits, along with the preparation of an independent study plan of your own personal projects. Then, students and faculty return home to work independently and meet monthly via Skype as projects unfold. The MFA program is designed to fit into the life you have and the films you make. Exciting, affordable, and intense. Refine your creative vision as you develop intensely personal stories in an independent practice. Visit vcfa.edu/film. For more details. Now, I can tell you that this past spring, I went to their residency week, and I had a great time. A great time. I took my kid. We made it a little bit of a vacation, but I recorded an entire episode of the podcast up there with several of the faculty members. Go to episode number 348 of the podcast, where I interviewed Laura Colella, Jake Mahaffey, and Malik Vital about various projects and about the program at the Vermont College of Fine Arts. So I'm proud to have this institution as a sponsor, and they will be sponsoring a bunch of upcoming episodes. So thank you to Vermont College of Fine Arts. So welcome to the podcast. I'm your host. My name is Adam Chartoff. I'm glad to be here every week to serve you, my listeners, and to bring interesting interviews and entertaining interviews from the world of cinema. Henry Jaglom has been around for decades. He's an interesting guy with an interesting history, and I'm just beginning to understand it. But he was a protege of Orson Welles. He was a part of that crew of these young Turks who were changing the face of American cinema and making independent films. But he turned his back on all that to make his own films. And, he's sort of, Henry is sort of in the mold of Woody Allen, I guess you could say, that he makes movie probably almost every year. You know, it's like people just don't realize how prolific this guy is because his movies are very low budget, much more low budget than Woody Allen. But he's a contemporary of Woody Allen, and he is making character-driven films. They're most always ensemble types of films. But over the years, you know, he's really discovered quite a few people. A lot of people's careers have flourished after being seen in a Henry Jaglom film. And, you know, he has a very particular audience because his films are very particular. And it's a particular brand of comedy, which I would say most of his films would fall under that category. He has a new film. It's called Ovation. It just had a theatrical run in Los Angeles. It's coming to New York in the fall, but they urged me to post the show, so I'm going to do that. He is somebody who I've wanted on for a while. In fact, some time ago, within the last year or two, I had on the documentary filmmaker Chuck Workman, who knows Henry, and he had said that he would help to get me Henry. It didn't quite work out like that. I did it on my own, but it was through the help of Henry and Lizzie Borden, another filmmaker, who I'm going to post that segment soon. But she, too, is friends with Henry Jaglom. She's a filmmaker, very different style of types of films, but she would attend Henry's annual holiday party that was supposed to be notoriously splashy and outrageous and fun. And she was telling me all about that, and I said, yeah, I'm trying to get him on the show. And she said, well, I can help with that. And she, between Chuck and Lizzie, they gave me just enough information to know how to approach Henry's organization. He's got a bunch of assistants and helpers, and I contacted them. They got right back to me, not initially, but more recently. And then it all fell together really quickly. And this is on Skype. Henry, I'm assuming, will be here in the fall. Joining Henry is his wife and his own protege, whose name is Tana Frederick. She has starred in at least half a dozen of Henry's films in the past decade, as well as what I didn't know about was a bunch of plays that they produce. And then also joining Henry and Tana is their editor, Ron Vignon, who also sat in. The three of them really, as a partnership, make these films. Ovation will be coming, as I said, to New York. There's a bunch of Henry's films, which I assume, if you go to the website, you can find out how to see some of these films. They're not all so easy to find. Regardless of whether you're a fan of Henry Jaglom's films or not, there's no denying that he is a part of independent film history and story. And so I hope to get him back on. My idea is that he will really like this episode, and that he will do a more involved, reflective podcast episode in the future. Ovation is the new film. Let's look back at it over the years. More recently, and I saw Just 45 Minutes from Broadway, Queen of the Lot. Those are two I've seen. He has done a lot of film. Last Summer in the Hamptons back in 95, Baby Fever in 94. I'm just working my way back. Eating in 1990. You know, he's been around a long time, and he's still going strong at 78, so it was fun to have him on. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a bit of a cranky guy at times, but he was in great spirits for this conversation. I'm a fan of his, and I'm interested in knowing more and more about him, especially after I've spoken with him. So here it is, folks. This is a conversation with Henry Jaglom, joined by Tana Frederick and Ron Vignon, right here on Film Wax Radio. For you, the listeners of Film Wax Radio, Warby Parker is offering a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses. I personally love the idea of getting my frames sent to me at home so I can have all my friends survey the glasses with me and help me make my choice. But to get your home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/filmwaxradio. Again, that's warbyparkertrial.com/filmwaxradio. for your free 5-day home try-on.
What does it feel like to be famous?
I don't really think of myself as famous.
Hey, I'm Stuart Henry.
I know you. What brought you to the show?
Well, just word of mouth. You were just shattering.
Wow.
A phenomenal role for you. It's going to change your life.
You are going to be in the most remarkable TV series.
Me?
You! You are a star!
No, I'm an actor. Woo! Look at that chemistry!
Cannot
handle
it.
Not fight tonight. Please, can we not fight tonight?
Well, can you not throw yourself at every single man who walks by here?
I see you guys with your wives.
But I've been with my wife for 8 years.
My wife drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You got a million things on your plate, but I'm speaking on behalf of everybody.
Do you have any idea what's going on?
We just don't know anything for sure yet. I'm not going to say that we're closing.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime role.
If I stay here with this show, then I lose one thing. I lose you, right?
And your dreams of being a star that you've had since you were a child.
You have to understand a very simple fact.
What is that?
The play is over.
Adam. Okay, hi.
Hi.
Henry should be here shortly.
Oh, it's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too.
Are you getting my moving image?
Not yet.
Oh, dear. Well, it'll be on any second, I'm sure. Well, you know what we'll do? We'll meet in on video, and then I might switch over to audio after a few minutes, because I think the quality is more stable and reliable when it's only audio.
Okay.
Even though I prefer video because, you know, it's more personable.
It's more voyeuristic.
It is right now for me because for me, it's perfect right now because you can't see me, but I can watch you.
Wait.
Oh, dear.
This is not, but it's not fair at all. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Henry. Nice to whatever meet. Quote. Well, there. I don't know why my image isn't coming up as for you, but
your image is coming up. A picture still is coming up.
Well, the still is far more appealing than the moving image. I can only guarantee that. So I'm probably doing you a favor.
Could you get this dog outside?
Yeah. Hold on. Our pooches are in here.
No, just the one. Just close the door behind.
Aww.
It's okay. Hello.
What kind of dog is it?
Shiba Inu.
We have two Shiba Inus.
What's that? I don't even know. I should know, right?
They weren't made a legal dog citizenship in America until after 1964, and they're extremely loyal. They look like little wolves. So
okay.
They have red coloring, curled tail. I think there's a
some of them are all white. We have one that's all white and beautiful.
We have one, yeah.
Wow.
Actually,
yeah.
I'm too far back, right?
No, but there's a meme. Is it mem or meme? I should know this.
You mean the graphic that you sent around on YouTube, on Facebook and all?
Yeah. Mm. And it's called Dog.
Okay.
So I don't know if you follow any of those.
I have no idea what she's talking about. Just
but they just look like little foxes.
So we don't have a picture. All we have is a picture of you. We don't have an active view.
Well, I'm tweaking. Not that I'm not listening about your illegal dog. I didn't mean that at all, of course.
No, I'm talking about the image of you.
I know. What I meant to say was that while you were telling me about your dog, don't worry about it because...
This is for video or for radio?
This is just, audio only, ultimately.
Audio.
That's...
Audio only.
Oh, okay.
Have you done a podcast? You must have done a podcast.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I've done lots of podcasts. I've just
what
never
is it,
done
Henry?
Through Skype.
So it's like a podcast, so it's audio only. Even
exactly.
though we have a picture of you revolving and pictures of us
right.
talking with you. Got it. So it's a radio interview.
So now you can take off your shirt.
That's right. It's a radio interview, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're fine.
Yeah, see, I'm sitting in my underwear, so, it's perfect.
I didn't need to know that. I really didn't need to know that.
Ovation. I want to get into the movie, though, because I don't want to waste our valuable time talking about me.
That would be nice.
Great.
I want to promote it because, actually, out of all the Henry Jaglom films I've seen, and I've seen quite a few, this is my favorite.
Good.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've gotten quite a few of those.
People seem to like. Yeah, that's nice.
And you've collaborated 5 times, right? This is your 5th collaboration, unless I'm mistaken.
5th. I think it's more than 5th.
Oh.
She collaborated with me on the film I made before putting her in a film, in fact, which was that. When I was editing the shopping, wasn't it shopping?
We've worked together a long time.
We worked together for
as far as collaboration. This is probably like the 8th film, and then the 7th play. Although this isn't a play, but it's based upon a play.
Right.
We've done a lot.
We do collaborate a great deal.
We do stuff.
And it's very hard to say where one person's thing begins and one person's thing takes over.
Yeah.
Because we
really, it's
we both, because we both take credit for each other's
because
ideas.
We both take credit and think we did it, and she thinks she did it. And usually it's Ron Vignoni, our editor, who really did it.
Yeah.
Sure. Henry, they say every movie is really three movies, right? There's the screenplay, there's the movie that's shot, and then there's the movie that's edited, right?
Well, no, it's really, that's, yeah, it's not true. A movie is 12 things, at least. I wouldn't know how to break them down that way, but they're an idea, then there's a collaboration of people putting together the idea, then there's the writing of it, then there's the casting of it, then there's the throwing away of the writing of it and rewriting it while you're making it.
Yeah.
Then there's the editing it, which is as important and singular a process as any of the others. So, and then it's what the actors bring changes absolutely everything to it. If you're open to the process and you're not trying to squeeze everybody into a traditional, conventional concept of what a film is, it's a very, very flexible and very plastic process. And anybody who's got the strongest emotional or intellectual or creative input is the one whose vision gets up there on screen. And Tana has biggest input of anyone I know.
Well, clearly.
No, we've really created a great threesome right here with mm-hmm. Ron and Henry and I, where I think all of us are so strong-minded that all of our vision gets on the screen, and hence we have been coming up with some great stuff over the last decade.
Yep.
Then I only apologize that I didn't ask to have Ron here too, since you're.
You want me to grab him?
You stay.
Oh, he's here? Okay, that's fine.
Ron.
It's okay. I was just being polite. I don't want Ron on. No, I'm kidding. Of course, that's great.
I don't want Ron.
Not only that, Tana. Not only that, but in the fall, when Ovation comes to New York, it'll be an opportunity also to continue.
Love that one.
Okay, the third part of our group that Tana was talking about, Ron Vignoni is right here.
When do we open in New York?
Hi, Ron.
Exact date?
Hey, Adam.
Hi, Ron. I'm afraid. Please don't comment too much on the fact that that you can't see me other than an image.
But are you good? Are you shooting our image?
No.
One second. There's not going to be any image.
No.
Right? This is radio.
Correct.
Okay, good.
Audio. If you feel more comfortable, you can turn off the video. It's up to you.
No, this is fine. Love looking at ourselves.
Beautiful.
Here's Ron. Ron Vignoni is.
Hey, Adam.
It is very true to say, put together our film.
Right.
Now, there are films which each one does different amounts of, and in conventional terms, I'm the director. Ron is the screenwriter. Tana is the star. But the fact is that Tana involves herself enormously in the screenwriting, as do I. Ron involves himself in the directing, and Tana involves herself in the directing. And if I could only wear Tana's outfits, I would direct myself in the acting as well. So it's a very three-way thing.
You do often describe yourself as a feminist. Well, not only just a feminist.
Not just a feminist.
Not just a feminist, but really you feel more like you, well, I'll let you say it because I put words in your mouth.
I feel very much like in every way except for my male physiognomy, I feel feminine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I identify much more with women. There is a male aspect of me that hangs on from childhood, which is the more aggressive and less pleasant part of myself, I think. But it is part of what energizes me and gets a lot of things done. But at the emotional or feeling level of life, I identify much more with women and feel myself much more connected to them. That's the best way to explain it. And that's why I like to make movies which have a female point of view, where the central character is why when I met Tana, it was a dream, because if I could put all of the things I feel about women and all of the things that they go through in their lives that is so rarely shown in film, since film is largely made still to this day by boys, boy babies in Hollywood, who make them for, you know, a boy baby audience out there. It's very important to have films which really represent how women's lives exist, what women go through, And otherwise, women feel very isolated and very separated, and very separate from what's going on the screen, and it's not really about them at all. So with Tana's help, I am able to, I think, make women feel connected to the film and have that those films connected to their lives. And with Ron's help, I'm able to technically achieve it because he's such a boy that he knows all the technological wonders that I am completely ignorant of.
I get the sense, because you make so many ensemble films, that Ovation is probably the greatest example, because not only is it an ensemble, but it's about making a play. We're watching backstage where collaboration is obviously going on all the time, but also we're getting a view into all the drama that's going on backstage, which is what Ovation is about. What is so fascinating about that? Because it's certainly fascinating, and there's a lot of drama and comedy, and there's even a little bit of a suspense thriller going on.
To know what's fascinating about that, you would have to be backstage while a play is going on to see the drama, the extraordinary lives and interactions that take place that are frequently much more exciting than that which is going on in the stage.
Right.
That's exactly the reason that I wanted to do this film, is to show the way the lives are happening beyond the view of the audience, behind the scenes, so that we never get on stage except for their curtain calls. We never get to see the play itself, but we see the life of the actors behind the curtain, as it were. Mm-hmm. And I think everything behind the curtain, by definition, is more exciting than the stuff we see every moment in front of ourselves.
Yeah, for me, as a producer of what, like 7 plays now, it's really funny because I've been able to track this pattern of the actors, and even being in the show. Not so much of the director, but of the actors. So they start out, and this is awful to say. I probably shouldn't even say it, and you probably shouldn't share it. But there are, you know, it's a natural, I don't know, survival mechanism that actors have. They start out, they're extremely thankful they got the job. They're extremely happy about the generosity of the pay and the fact that, like, I believe they should be treated to, like, 4-star meals every night, because, like, what do we have as actors? We have our dignity, and then we get to eat, you know? And then after about 3 months, shit starts hitting the fan, and you will find that the cast slowly starts to break into factions. And there are slowly little rifts that happen. And as a producer, you know, and still yet starring in said plays, I have to figure out, okay, so who's starting to break off, and exactly who's, you know, hooking up with who, and who's unhappy with what, and who's complaining about what. And it's, you know, it's a small space backstage because we're doing AA 99-seat theater. And then by 6 months, I'm actually trying to convince the actors not to quit. And this is just, you know, I'm talking about year-long runs here. So then you're just trying to, you have your people who are not so much a problem, then you have your people who are more of a problem, and it's just this balancing act. And I can literally, like, say, okay, after this amount of days, this is going to happen. After this amount of days, this actor is going to be pissed. After this amount of days, one of the actors is going to do this. And that, to me, and to Henry, you know, with the stories that I've shared with him, those are kind of the gem moments in theater that you don't get in film, because you're just not living with these creatures in film as much as you are in theater. And so there's a method, you know, and you have to kind of prepare yourself as almost you were like a basketball coach. Like, okay, this game plan, this is going to happen. This play is going to happen here. This play is going to happen here. You got to be ready for it. Here's what I'm going to counter with. This is what I'm going to counter with here. And I've done it all before. And I'm not going to get, you know, attached to the difficulty of that. I'm just going to keep forging on and, you know, either fire them or give them a pay raise.
And how this is all relevant to Ovation is that it's highly inspiring to Henry, who is watching, observing the whole time, and informing a growing narrative. And that's in great part how Henry came about creating the backstage drama of Ovation.
Hey, Ron, while we're on the subject, Ron, how many films have you collaborated with Henry and Henry and Tana?
I should know this. Five or six.
Rough. Okay. And what's the relationship like during the production? Here's a case I just happen to recognize that you're actually in the film.
Yeah.
You're a part of the stage. You're part of the crew in the play. That's the play within the film.
Oh, he is the press agent.
The press agent. Thank you for
Tana's character.
Oh, very good. Thank you. I'm sorry. I misspoke. But Ron, as editor on the film, on this, are you? What's going on during the film? Are you, since like Tana just described, she can anticipate, like when she's going into a production of a play, much like I'm sure Henry can anticipate all the things that are going to likely occur in terms of the dynamics, in terms of what have you. Are you whispering into Henry's ear? You know how a scene might work. In constructing it, because when it gets to you and editing, you'll have an advantage at that point. Are you even assembling the film already during the production, or is that all done afterward?
That's a great question. It's done afterwards. It's very much done between Henry and I. Henry does give me tremendous creative license because we have very similar aesthetics. We certainly see film and scenes unfolding a certain way. I'm always trying to support Henry's aesthetic. And basically, Henry knows that I know what he wants or comes close to what he envisions for something. So I'll cut a scene together and give it to him. And then it's usually a pretty good expression of that scene. But then Henry will come along and say, no. I want to go here. I want to tweak this way. So he gets to really bend and adjust the narrative according to the way he wants to do things. So editing is a very collaborative event between
us. Sure.
And even though I get the great privilege of, again, having enormous creative license with the material. And I try to support him on set in that way. He trusts me. And it's a really, really fruitful and enjoyable process. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I talk to a lot of editors, and I appreciate what you're saying. Henry, how big a transition was it for you to go from film to digital? How enormous was that for you? I've seen footage of you actually cutting, and you are like a wizard. I mean, you were like flying through it.
Yeah, I was in pig heaven when I could edit my own films. The most salient remark about that was Orson Welles, who watched me in my editing room after a day's shooting when I was shooting him in Someone to Love. And he came back with me to the editing room and watched me edit and putting these things together. And he said, you remind me of this old Eskimo that I saw in a movie about Eskimos, a documentary. And I said, really, what's that? And he said, the filmmaker finds this old Eskimo who is sitting and carving a gigantic walrus tusk. And the filmmaker, naturally, a Western filmmaker, says to the Eskimo, what is it that you're making? And the Eskimo filmmaker looks at him completely bewildered by the question and says, as he continues to carve, I don't know. I'm trying to find out what's inside.
Great.
And Orson said to me, now that's you, Henry. That's how you make your movies. That it's different from how I make them or anyone else makes them. You take all of us, you take Tana, you take you yourself, you take me, you take all these people, you've got your theme, and then you're carving away at all of us trying to find out what's inside.
Yeah,
And that is probably the best definition I'll ever get of what it is that I like to do. And before the new technology came in, I literally was able to sit at my machine, cut with scissors and with pen knives, put the tape together, take the reels, readjust. I was literally doing a very close version of what that Eskimo was talking about. Now I sit back. Ron does all the technical work, and all I can do is be a voice saying, is there any way we can get in the closer there? And how about cutting over to that? What do you think? Would you want to? And he says, no, I got a better idea. And he does magic with his hand. and suddenly it's 1,000 times better than anything I could invent. So it is a profound change. As a craftsman, it's a great loss. As an artist, I think it's an improvement.
So you can live with it, in other words, because there's a balance.
More than can live with it. I just said that as an artist, yeah, I think it's a great improvement because it allows me to fully express things creatively because of his technological know-how and his ideas creatively that allow me to finish something rather than just hit and miss, which is what I did all my life, like cutting and pasting, basically. Here I can get an insight into a larger picture and find a way to technically fulfill it. It's not as gratifying on the fingertips, but it's much, much more gratifying in the final film.
Thank you for sharing all that. Tana, hi. I know right now Ovation, which I'm going to remind everyone that's listening, is currently in theaters in the Los Angeles area. Three different theaters?
It's in five different theaters. Lemley's.
Lemley, yeah. They're very supportive of the independent film.
They are. And then in the fall, it'll open across the country in New York and all over the country.
Very good. And so you've been making a bunch of appearances, I'm assuming, running around the Lemleys and like in Santa, it's going to be in Santa Monica. The reason I'm going to talk about this, the Monica Film Center, is that it's actually going to be there for through most of this month. And
maybe next month.
That's right.
Some of my films have played there 3, 4, 5 months, 6 months long. That's one of the advantages of having independent films. They don't just come open in 1,000 theaters and then disappear. As long as the audience wants to go, theaters like the Lemleys will play them. And it just depends if people watching this go to the Lemley theaters, buy tickets, they'll be there. The films will be there.
Well, we'll be encouraging that, of course.
Oh, I will hope so, yes.
And I'm in New York, and I'm looking forward to you guys coming to New York so I can see you in action. And
okay, we'll do that.
During your Q&As. You know, of course, when I was growing up here in New York, almost any film that wasn't just a failure could easily have a run for months. Those are bygone days, I guess. But, you know, any film that was the result of real production and craft could at least get a few, like a month or two in the theater. Wasn't unusual. A successful film could be in the theater for months on end, if not years.
Yeah.
Including pornography, I might add. I hear. I don't know anything about it personally. But Tana, I feel like I'm abandoning you a little bit here. So I just want to...
No.
Your character's name is Maggie, right? She's
I
like...
I want to say one thing. One of the reasons you're not abandoning Tana is because she is so
Thank
much
you.
A part, not just of her character and her acting, but so much a part of the editing and the making and the writing and the development and of the film, that since we got together, which is 8 films now, I think, and we've done 7 plays, it's very hard to put your finger on who came up with which part of what.
Sure.
The three of us have gotten a truly profound collaborative way of working.
Yeah, I'm all good. You don't have to...
You know, it's not like...
You can let them do the hard work and answer the question.
She's not like the... She's not like the actor who comes in. She's constantly suggesting and improving. And she's even films that she wasn't in, she sat next to me and said, no, don't do that. You better try this. And she's always right. So she's been as much a creative voice, a part of my films. My films now definitely reflect our three creative voices.
Oh, there seems to be somebody joining us, Henry, right behind you there.
Cagney.
That's Cagney, but your people can't see Cagney.
You can see him.
He can see him, but this is radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What a beauty.
Yeah, there's the Shiva email. Come here,
Mo. Why aren't you guys doing your plays in New York?
A very simple reason. To put on a play in New York costs a couple of $1 million, minimum. And you can do the play here for a couple of $100,000, which is not chopped liver either. No. So, but here you can raise the money, you can put it together. And it can run here for like most of our plays. My last play, which I wrote, which Tana starred in, which we are now making into a film, Train to Zakopane, ran for a year. The Rainmaker, also, which is a part of this new film, they're making The Rainmaker in the film, they're acting it,
right.
That also ran well over a year out here. You can't do that in New York without it being one of the five hits out of 5,000 plays that open and close, you know, after several million dollars or tens of millions of dollars and fail. So it's
not, so we are open to financiers. We are not opposed.
Oh, not opposed at all. Anybody who wants to come and give us money to open any of the plays in New York, we'd be very, very willing to.
We will relocate like gangbusters.
Like that. We got a place to hang out.
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
So you're saying that if somebody wants to finance your show on Broadway, somebody with deep pockets comes to you, that you'll do your play in New York.
In a second.
In a New York minute. Less than. In an Iowa millisecond.
Right. The answer is yes.
Yes.
But since we're in L.A., we're very lucky. There is a good, thriving theater scene here. And we've managed to put on seven plays, each one of which has run either a year or very close to a year, and it's unheard of. So that, and we've had a lot of people from New York come out and, you know, have said, we wish we had this kind of thing in New York, but the economics of New York are nothing.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we just haven't had offers for finance. We've had a couple bites, but nothing substantial yet.
And even though I'm a New Yorker and I'm from New York, I must tell you, and I grew up going to the theater in New York, I find it much more exciting here because the audiences are much less predisposed to think they know what they are open. They're open in a way New Yorkers frequently aren't. Some wonderful plays in New York have recently opened and closed after 6 weeks. And it's because critics didn't appreciate them. Audiences didn't come because they don't have big star names on Broadway. It's practically impossible. It's become
in New York, there's such an overinflation to produce a Broadway play that there's just absolutely no room for error.
Right. So I'd say that the best theater, the most interesting theater, is being done all over the country in the most unexpected places away from New York and away from where economics make it impossible to be really creative.
Well said. And in fact, I was just in Los Angeles, and my ex-wife, the mother of my child, she is currently doing a play in Los Angeles. It's quite excellent, and I can't recommend it enough, although it may be over by the time people listen to this episode.
What play?
It's called Disgraced, and, you know, like I say, it's probably going to close in the next few days. It's had its run, but I can't say enough good things about it.
Where's it playing?
I think it's called the Center Stage Theater. Are you familiar with that?
Okay, Jen. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that.
Good for her.
It's gotten really great reviews, correct?
Yeah, it's a shame you guys, there's not enough time for you guys to see it, because, you know, I bet you'd want to cast her after seeing her in this play.
What is her acting name?
Her acting name and her actual name is Karen Pittman.
Spell it.
Karen, traditional spelling, and then Pittman is Pittman.
K-I-T-T.
No, P like in Peter.
Pittman.
Yeah, okay.
Like a pit bull.
Yes, like Pitbull, right.
No, that's a great name for an actress. You're going to get roles with that last name.
Yeah, well, Tana, she is, like yourself, a very talented actress. Now, I don't want to sound like you haven't been great in, you know, a number of films, but I just saw such a growth here in Ovation. There's a scene in particular. I can't remember the name of the actress, but she's kind of getting roughed up a little bit by her boyfriend and
Sabrina Jaglom.
It's Henry's daughter, and her character name is Zoe.
Yes, Zoe. That's right. Yes. So there's that scene with Zoe and Maggie, and you know, Zoe is again. She's I guess her boyfriend's a bit overexcited and passionate, and he makes some poor choices, and so. But the two of them sit down and have a serious heart-to-heart. And, just a great performance.
That for me?
Yes, that's for you, Tana.
You know, I really appreciate that. That was a really fun scene to do with Sabrina because she's been in every single one of Henry's films since she was... I've been acting with her since she was seven, I think, so... So that one where I actually got to like counsel her on male you know,
how to deal with men
was really fun. And that was like a really cool actual girl to girl conversation. And that's actually one of my favorite scenes in the movie. So I really appreciate the compliment on that scene, because I love that scene. It was just like effortless and right there. And I love Sabrina as an actress. She's amazing. And so that was a lot of fun.
Well, and my son was the other young person in the movie. Did you know that?
Yes, I definitely saw that it was your son, Simon, right?
Simon, the one who saves sister and then beats the other guy over the head, and you know what happens.
Yes, it leads to a path of mystery and intrigue. I didn't see that coming.
And all of that.
Listen, I know we're going to start winding down, and I just want to say what a delight it is to have had the opportunity to talk to you both. Film Wax Radio is really devoted to independent film, you know, and you guys are obviously been doing it for a long time. So, again, I'm very excited, very thankful for this opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Well, and Henry, you know, as excited as I was to have Tana and Ron on the show, you know, Henry, you're a real pioneer of the industry, so I'm definitely very grateful to have had this experience with you guys.
Aww.
Well, it's good to meet you. Very good to meet you. Thank you for the interview.
Yeah.
And tell people to come. That's what we need, just people coming. So far, this first weekend was a terrific hit.
Good.
The LA Times was nice enough to give us a rave, the only rave review they had this week. So we were very, very lucky, and we're hoping for a nice long run there before we start going into other markets.
And Henry, are there any signs of slowing down?
For me?
Yes, yes, professionally, slowing down at all.
Slowing down? No. Do you mean chronologically because of my age going on? Is that what you mean by slowing down?
No. I'm referring to the sheer output you guys are working on between the movies and plays. It's astonishing. And I was wondering how long you could keep up that pace.
Oh, no. The plays are very much Canada produces and stars in. And the movies are from it, not work for me. They just feel like the games I've wanted to play since childhood. And as Orson said, it's the greatest toy, what did he call it, a toy train set? Well, I forgot what it was, that a kid can have. It's the greatest, you know, a movie, to make a movie is just enormous fun. Whatever else it is, if it's not fun, you shouldn't be doing it because it's very difficult. But it's great, great fun. So I don't see no reason to slow down on it. This is my 20th film as a writer-director, though I have collaborator writers now, which I didn't have before. So in that sense, maybe I'm slowing down. I love it. I mean, I love the process. And as long as there are actors like Tana Frederick, who I can get the most extraordinary things out of on screen, I'm not going to stop. And then there's a movie that's coming that we're producing that's coming out that I had nothing to do with that Ron directed Tana in.
What?
It is an extraordinary piece of Americana that hopefully this fall to winter period you will start to see.
But you wrote it. It's your playwright.
I didn't write any of it, darling. We're talking about she's talking about another movie that comes from my story.
Oh, so Ron, you're directing?
Yes.
Oh, so Henry, you'll have to edit this time around.
No. Ron is directing and editing. I have nothing to do with it. It's Garner, Iowa. It's a wonderful, wonderful film which really captures something that I know nothing about, which is the heart of the center of this country. And it's the most American film you can imagine. Meanwhile, I am, with Ron's help, editing my last play, which is A Train to Zakopane, and turning that into a film in a very new and creative way, which we can't even begin to talk about.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. I seriously doubt it.
So we're all quite busy in a very happy way. Nobody's complaining.
No one's complaining and no one's slowing down.
Meanwhile, I just want everybody to go to see
Ovation.
Right.
That's why we're here. And and Ron, when you have your work ready, we'll have you back on the podcast so we can talk about that film.
Love Garner, Iowa. I would love to do it, and I will be there with Tana Frederick, who is the producer on the film, and it's a
and a star,
and a star, of course, and it's a labor of love for her. So we're really excited about that piece.
Well, definitely keep this podcast in mind, you know, on your radar. It's called Film Wax Radio, FILMWAX Radio.
Good title by the name, by the way. There's so many dumb titles out there. When I saw that your thing was Film Wax on my computer 2 nights ago, I thought, I don't care what this is. That's a very good, really good title. That really hits the mark. It's a terrifically named, whoever came up with that.
It is. It really is.
Well, it was my idea. I just sort of came to me in a moment of inspiration. It sounds like, you know, people waxing about film, and also it sounds fun, and it just came to me.
I thought, okay, I want to get a quote from this guy about my movie, because I like the idea of putting up the quote and then having it say underneath, you know, your name and Film Wax.
Well, write it up and I'll put my name on it.
There's something about having a quote from Film Wax that feels right.
Cool.
So if you want to give us a review.
Really good.
No, I'd love to submit something. I'll write it up, and if you choose to use it, that's great. Thanks.
That you could send it, instead of to any press, directly to me, which is simply at...
Yeah, no, I have your email from when we were coordinating all this earlier.
Oh, did we have an exchange already by email?
No, nothing like that. You just had replied to one of the emails, and so then I replied in kind, just to be polite, and that's how I have your email.
Well, I'd be very, very happy if you wanted to write something about the film. I'd quote you in the Times.
But only because of that your name is Film Wax.
Film Wax, it's a great...
What do I care? That's plenty. I'm fine with that.
It has
the sound of authenticity.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people make up those names all the time.
I feel so bad if I told you like some of the names of the I'm sure you've heard them, but there's some really bad.
Yeah,
and you're right.
It's,
I didn't
it's unusual to come up with a really good Film Wax.
Oh, Tana, come on, give me an example. Drop some names.
It wouldn't be right, but I can tell you that they're like Tanya Frederick here, and when this woman tells you what she's been doing, she's gonna blow you away. And I'm like, okay, they haven't read my bio. All right, now I know where I'm at with this interview. But this has been an awesome interview.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very, very much.
Well, that means an awful lot. Thank you.
Good luck with Film Wax.
I think I'll need it. Thank you very much.
I assume you're starting, right? It's new.
Oh, no, I've been doing this for a number of years now, and I've had a lot of great guests like yourself. In fact, Chuck Workman, your friend Chuck Workman, was on the show not that long ago.
Oh.
And I'm sure many other people that you know have also been on the show. For instance, Bertolucci was even on the show once.
You had Bertolucci on?
Oh, my God.
You're not a virgin anymore.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there is a joke in there somewhere about virgin olive oil. I just can't think of it yet.
How you do that either?
Use truffles in it. Somewhere there's got to be a truffle.
Bertolucci was one of my greatest heroes of my childhood, Bertolucci.
Don't even get me started. It was incredible having him on the show. Henry, while I have you still, would you be mind terribly doing an ID for me, like just saying something along the lines of, this is Henry Jagloom, and you're director of Ovation, and you're listening to Film Wax Radio, something like that.
Okay. This is Henry Jagloom, the director of Ovation. You are listening to Film Wax Radio.
Absolutely perfect. Beautiful.
That's
excellent. I come from the Orson Welles School of Radio.
we all just tell each other we're brilliant, and that's how we...
No, did you get that? Is that okay for you?
Oh, right.
Okay, so it's Ron, make sure I have your name, Vignoni. Is that right?
Vignone.
Oh, Vignone, grazie, signor.
Okay,
but nobody calls him that. They say Vignone, but it's Vignone.
It's Vignone. That's it.
Ron Vignone.
There you go.
Henry Jagloom, and of course, the lovely Tana Frederick. Thank you all. I've had a blast. This is great having you on Film Wax Radio.
Mutual.
Thank you.
And you didn't even get to see what I look like, except, you know, the photo that's on Skype here.
Just say what?
I'm just saying, I can see you guys on the camera, but you can't see me because all you get is the photo.
Well, what we're getting is 1984. Do you remember 1984, either the book or the movie?
Sure, Orwell, of course, George Orwell.
Guy is up there staring at us. I forgot what his name is.
Big Brother.
Huh?
Big Brother?
What? Big Brother. And he's in every room.
Yeah.
And it's his smile. And that's what it looks like. We've been working to Big Brother here because it's the only image is this frozen picture, pleasant picture of you smiling at us knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the what were they called? The drolls? No, the
Scientologists?
No, the drolls. Darling. 84. Never mind. Okay.
Okay, guys. Have a great evening. Thanks again.
Proles.
Thank
proles.
You.
The proles. For proletariat. The proles. Good night, Big Brother, wherever you are.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
I want you to tell me that I can trust you.
You are such a girl.
They've worked so hard. They have kids. They have families. They do it because they love it.
You actually have feelings for this girl, don't you?
You don't look in her eyes. You haven't seen it. The girl has got hurt. It's not important to her. What's important to her is these people in this play.
I mean, you're putting yourself in a position to lose a fortune of money. You know that. This is our chance.
Tana Frederick. James Denton.
People are on the edge of their seat.
That's fantastic.
Ovation.
Don't judge yourself. Nobody's got it together. None of these idiots have it together.
Yeah, they're all just faking it.
A film by Henry Jaglom.
Folks, go to our iTunes page, please, and please do me the huge kindness of leaving a star rating and a comment, a review of sorts, if you will. It is really, really crucially important, and many of you, of my listeners, and I know there's many of you, hundreds and hundreds, thousands perhaps, and you're not doing it. And, you know, look, I'm not trying to insult you or to criticize, but hey, it's a free show. All it takes is a few moments to go to the iTunes store, look up FilmWax or FilmWax Radio or Adam Chartoff, any of those things, and FilmWax will come right up. Select it, give it a star rating, give it a comment. It will mean a whole lot to me, and other people will find the show. And the more listeners, as you know, I get, of course, the better the show. Why? Because it'll just mean more access to more people. And just think of some of your favorite episodes of the show. I can focus on doing that, okay? But in addition to iTunes, where you can also, by the way, subscribe to my show, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/filmwaxradio. We're on Twitter. We're on the Instagram thing, where it's very easy to find the show. And please do feel free to contact us. You can go to the website, filmwaxradio.com, and do that. We're also on Stitcher. If you want to subscribe to our feed on Stitcher, that's fine. And, you know, it's a show that's it's becoming more and more ubiquitous. Upcoming episodes, by the way, I have The Return of Tom Noonan, finally, coming up in the next couple of weeks. We have, as I mentioned, an episode with Lizzie Borden, who was like a New York underground filmmaker back in the 70s. You know, she was a contemporary of Jarmusch and Charles Burnett and folks like that, Amos Poe and who else? You know, Eric Mitchell and all these amazing filmmakers that were around. And not just filmmakers. They were sometimes filmmaker artists, musicians like John Lurie and all these great personalities that today they're still, you know, they're still alive and well and you know, sort of in that cusp between middle-aged and getting on, you know, but they're great, and I have access to so many of these people, and I want to share these conversations with you. So Lizzie Borden will be coming up too, and then I will be playing my conversation with John Turturro as well. Yada yada yada, so much more coming up. You are listening to Filmwax Radio. I want to thank my sponsors today, Warby Parker, and also the Vermont College of Fine Arts, their MFA program. Thank you to them. If you're listening and you want to sponsor the show or an episode or a segment, It's very, very easy and reasonable. Just contact me directly, adam@filmwax.com, basically. But you can go to the website. There's a link where you can email me. Let me know. Or if you know somebody who might be interested in it, if you find me a sponsor, I will make it worth your while. You know what that means. Read between the lines. Or if you have a great guest, you can email me about that as well. Thank you for listening, folks. Really appreciate it. Means a lot to me. And I'm doing my best here to provide a quality entertainment, quality conversation. And hopefully I'm more or less doing it right. So I'm signing off here. You've been listening to FilmWax Radio, episode number 363. My name is Adam Chartoff, the name of the show, FilmWax Radio. It's a part of the Showbriz Studios podcast network and presented by Rooftop Films. Go to rooftopfilms.com, find out the latest screenings that are occurring at that wonderful festival through the next couple of weeks. There's only, I think, the end in mid-August, so there's only a couple more weeks left to see any films at Rooftop. Thank you for listening, everybody. Until next time, to take care.
Standing in the sun with a stupid face, the glasses and the